I was curious to maybe like take a few minutes on like trying to rank our favorite Westerns.
Yeah, well, I got my list ready.
Okay. I guess you can start with that. It'd be easier.
I put a small list at the bottom of movies that popped up on Google as Westerns, but I don't really think they are. I think they have elements of Westerns in them, but I don't really think they're Westerns per se, you know. But not counting those, let me see here. This is not necessarily in a perfect order, but I put The Magnificent Seven, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Once Upon a Time in the West, and as like the best three. And then I got The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, Shane, Unforgiven, is like the next three. And then Tombstone, True Grit, and The Searchers as probably like the ones after that. And then I would put Open Range as number 10. And then below that, I have The Cowboys, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, and Silverado. And I would say that those 13, I don't have a lot of rules to this. I'm just, those are clumped up at the very, very top as like the best ones that I've seen. And then I have a whole section below that that are just really damn good movies, but not clearly below what I just said, you know, not in as good of a category, which I put like Hell or High Water, No Country for Old Men, Django Unchained, The Hateful Eight, Fistful of Dollars, DocuSucker, and High Noon. Mm-hmm. And then the list goes on and on from there. Like, then another drop down to still very good movies, but like, got stuff like, where was it? Blazing Saddles, Back to the Future 3, Red River, City Slickers, The Quick and the Dead, Maverick, a lot of stuff from the 90s, actually. Young Guns, Quigley Down Under, and then below all that, probably like Desperado, McClintock, Hostiles, The Proposition, The Revenant, which I guess that counts as a Western, I guess. Dances with Wolves, The Sisters Brothers. You remember when we watched that, Gil?
Yeah, yeah.
It was a pretty decent movie. Not amazing, but
you know, it was interesting.
Yeah. A Few Dollars More, News of the World, and Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward, Robert Ford. And then below that, I have even further down. Now we'd be getting down into like the sevens and sixes and stuff like that. Things like Paint Your Wagon, Ravenous, 310 to Yuma, The Good Dinosaur, which is another questionable one. I don't know if that really counts as a Western or not. It feels like one. But yeah, you know, Dead Man, Three Amigos, Shanghai Noon, Five Goes West. And then if you get really, really far down, I'll skip a whole bunch because we don't want to list all of these movies. Way, way, way down at the bottom, you got movies with like, they're not horrendously bad, but they're definitely like bad, got really big problems. Like the remake of The Magnificent Seven or American Outlaws or Appaloosa. And then way below all that would be just bad movies like Power of the Dog, Wild Wild West, Rango, stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's tough. I feel like I need to put them in like tiers or categories more than anything, because like the spaghetti Westerns, like classic Westerns, modern Westerns, you know, like to pick two from each, basically. Because if I had to pick like two Sergio Leone, it would be like Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and Once Upon a Time in the West.
That's what I did.
Yeah, and from the John Wayne ones, The Searchers was good. I think I liked the Shane also is from that same period. I feel like I like Shane better than The Searchers. There was the slightly more modern American ones, the Butch Cassidy for sure. And I feel like there was another one from back when. Those are like I feel like the big ones for me, and Open Range might make it into the top 10. I can definitely see that. And High Noon, High Noon is another one from the black and white classics that I feel like stands out. Mm-hmm. But it would be tough for me from here. Like Tombstone from the modern ones would probably make it.
Into top 10, you mean?
Top 10, because I think I'm at about like 7, 8 now. I think it's tough for me to like name 10 that really, really stand out. I mean, there's ones that I like, but not ones that I love. Like these are like the ones that I pretty much like love, like have almost no issue with. But the Westerns are tough. You know, there's a lot of good ones, but at the same time, I definitely need to see Magnificent Sevens again because I haven't. There's also the Wild Bunch.
Yeah.
I think it was highly recommended.
I thought about putting that on my list somewhere, but it's been so long since I saw it. I mostly just remember the action scenes, and I don't really remember the movie that well, so I didn't want to kind of like place it anywhere. I felt it was unfair.
Yeah, no, I definitely need to watch that, but maybe this will give me a good excuse
to do that.
What about you, Matt?
Once Upon a Time in the West is definitely on the top of my list because I mean it's generally in my top 20 of like any movie of any genre ever.
Damn good movie.
Yeah. I mean, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly also has to be out there, but I still place Once Upon a Time in the West higher. The Oxbow Incident is definitely one that I think very, like, way, way too few people have seen nowadays.
I haven't seen
it. Yeah. So, I mean, even for a movie that came out, like, in the glory days of Henry Fonda and everything, it was kind of an unconventional Western. Like, there's not a whole lot of gunplay or anything. It is more, again, more of a philosophical, moral dilemma and everything. But it's, I don't know, it's always stood out to me as one of, I mean, it just kicks you in the gut at the end of the movie. And also, by the way, I think it's free on YouTube, and it's only like 79 minutes long. So it's not a...
Whoa. Is it?
Because
I was gonna like see it, but I wasn't up for
Also definitely one of Sam Peckinpah's lesser known films, Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid, is definitely up there as one of my all-time favorites. I know that he's more well known for, you know, The Wild Bunch and everything, but yeah, Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid was definitely more up my alley. I know that people love The Searchers, and I just haven't found a way to put that toward my top tier. I know that's heresy. It's John Ford. It's, you know, the Duke. It's, you know, like, it deals with all these issues, but, you know, I just never, honestly, I mean I think the ending, the way that I remember The Searchers, was even less plausible than the ending of 3:10 to Yuma, but and I mean, I still really,
and that's the problem with 3:10 to Yuma,
right? And I still like 3:10 to Yuma. It's just that the ending doesn't make any damn sense. But yeah, I mean, this is probably where I would slide Open Range in there for me. I mean, there are obviously movies like Shane and, you know, The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance and so on and so forth that, you know, would be battling for that spot. But I'm still going to say that they're battling for that spot. I guess I gave a couple of really conventional answers and then a couple of very unconventional answers.
But
The Oxbow Incident is one of those movies that'll surprise you if you give it a chance.
Have you guys both seen The Quick and the Dead?
Well, yes, I have.
I haven't.
I recommend it.
Quick and the Dead?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like from the 90s, was it?
Yeah. Raimi.
Sam Raimi. Yeah, wasn't it like Sharon Stone or something?
Yeah, Sharon Stone.
Yeah.
Gene Hackman. It's a stacked cast.
Yeah.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
Oh, is it? No.
It's Leonardo DiCaprio and Russell Crowe like minutes before they blew up.
Oh, I see. That's definitely an interesting genre. There's a lot of good movies.
Yeah, a lot of them. Too many. Too many to choose from.
Yeah. And I don't watch them often enough, so it's always good to mix it up.
Yeah. And, you know, it is kind of a sad thing, too, that, you know, I mean, obviously, through most of cinema history, you know, Westerns were kind of, you know, a major go-to. Oh, also, like, geez, we forgot how the West was won. How did nobody?
Probably because I actually haven't seen it.
Oh, no, me neither. I think.
Yeah. So the difficulty with that is it was shot in Cinerama.
Really?
Yeah. So it's.
So we have no way of really watching it in its true form.
Right. It's almost impossible to find a version of that movie that isn't like cropped in some way you still get that it's a really great film, but yeah,
but we need to own like a giant auditorium and set up like the all three film reels at the same time and see if we can get it to work right.
I think that a large part of why Westerns were so popular for so long is that people were still interested in reading. And when they went to the movies, even though they were watching a bunch of characters who probably couldn't read, or were not, all that, I mean, in fact, in the Oxbow incident, there is one of those things where, like, they're trying to read a letter and a few of them can't, are completely illiterate. But, when you have a society that reads a lot, you get filmmakers who think a lot and read a lot and audiences that think a lot and read a lot. And a lot of the great drama, even before the invention of cinema, has been built around simpler people in hard times and how they cope with some of the larger aspects of life that maybe they themselves don't even comprehend. And that's some of the beauty of the Western genre. And once people stopped reading, they wanted everything to become a lot more simple. And that's when Westerns kind of lost their panache.
I'm just going to go here and just say that I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I feel like you're really reading into that. Like, a lot. Like, a lot. I just think people like Westerns. They like cowboys. And then, over time is people get sick of stuff, and then enough time goes by and someone's like, I got a great idea for a Western again, like Silverado or something. And then it's like, oh, and then they're back in vogue again, you know?
Yeah. No, I think it's the action. It's the opposite of like if courtroom dramas are talking, then Westerns are that only for action. Is the fact that like there are all these guns and people and renegades and lawlessness or at least like a lot of ambiguity about like who was in charge and all these like outposts, that it's got built-in tension. You know, the small towns, the stranger coming in,
yeah.
you know, and coming across the local criminals. It's yeah, that's basically the, you know, the plot of Yojimbo, you know, and what's called a Fistful of Dollars. It's mm-hmm. Yeah, that like the lone men that can take the kind of the Rambo in a way. That's where it all started. Like the one guy that can like get on, like take on everybody in a shootout. It's it's just got built-in conflict. It's just so easy to write to it, like within that genre.
Well, I mean, there is a certain case for that. I mean, it's like what Joss Whedon said about, you know, how like space movies have that kind of built-in thing where, okay, yeah, your ship is broken. Oh, big deal. Yeah, but you're in space and your ship is broken. You know, like, you know, what the hell are you gonna do? You know, it's you know, kind of a mirror of that, and you know, like you can understand how that conflict can kind of be low-hanging fruit. I mean, you know, some of that low-hanging fruit turned into some really insightful journeys into how people think. And you know, I mean, there are so many Westerns out there that, you know, really, if you think about it, you might as well be reading a parable out of the Bible with what they're trying to tell you.
Yeah, no, they're very definitely morality tales and things like that. Yeah, the better of them. Yeah.
Sure.
Matt, you're going to confuse our listeners, all seven or eight of them, so much.
Okay.
I don't want to criticize, because like for once you're saying something positive, but like, I mean, just a few, I don't know what we call these episodes, whatever, ago, I brought up that was it Much Ado About Nothing, and you said your favorite thing about it was that Joss Whedon didn't write it. And I'm like, I was so frustrated with you, because it's like, we used to live together. I showed you Firefly, and you said that the episode Out of Gas, which he wrote and directed, was possibly one of the greatest things ever put on television. Those are your words. And then you go a few years later, well, a decade later, whatever, and you're saying that your favorite thing about one of his movies was that he didn't write it.
You're all over the place, man. I understand where you're coming from. A broken clock is right twice a day.
Wow. See, I shouldn't have said anything. You see, our
is that broken clock Joss Whedon or you?
I think he's with the comeback. Yeah. That was funny.
Yeah, no, but obviously, like, everybody has you know, hits and misses for sure. But yeah. I think at the time when we and Matt were dunking on Joss Whedon, we were saying that, you know, he's a decent writer. He's not a very good filmmaker or director, but he's decent. He's not bad. But yeah, I do like Much Ado About Nothing. I think it's one of his better things that I've seen.